Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
All right. Hello, everybody. Here we are. Welcome back. Chris, you're our... We had a brief, you know, Thanksgiving hiatus, and we're back. It seems like forever since we've done one of these podcasts. I'm going to see if I can remember how to do it, but
right on.
we're talking about a very timely thing today, so this is good as we move into almost a month, right, past CMMC phase one officially starting. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. November 10th, right? So it's also coincidentally the Marine Corps' birthday, right? So it's very important to my practice director, right?
Steve, who's
probably listening
right.
in.
Yeah, all I was looking at it, I was thinking the day before Veterans Day, but there you go. Maybe that's more meaningful for Steve. That's the Marine Corps birthday.
Absolutely, no doubt.
So we're going to be talking about self-assessments and scoping for organizations seeking certification or OSCs around level one and level two, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing it with you, right? Chris Abacon, aka Bacon, senior security consultant here at Compliance Point. So Chris, prior, and I have to read some of this with you because you have such a long, impressive background, but
yeah.
10 years in the Navy, you served in several different IT roles, including Navy Blue Team Analyst, Tactical Network Engineer, and IT Manager. Now more on the civilian side, as you like to say.
Yep.
You use your experience to help Compliance Point clients really manage complex security challenges, and given your background, a lot of that has been tied with NIST, CMMC, FedRAMP, FISMA, GovRAMP, and that realm. So as I alluded to a little bit, we're talking about CMMC, scoping, self-assessments. During phase one, organizations that are handling CUI, or maybe I'm stealing some of your bit here, I should let the expert speak to this part. So why don't you kind of open up about like what it means now that we're in phase one, what organizations apply, anything else you want to add, and then I can start the questioning on what are good practices for OSCs right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the start of CMMC phase one officially as of November 10th, applicable contracts, so certain companies are eligible to perform a self-assessment. So what does that mean for level one and level two self-assessments, right? So essentially from the CMMC DoD standpoint, that is logging on to SPRS, Supplier Risk Performance Management System, and affirming. So an OSC will affirm that they are either meeting level one or level two requirements. Right. So it's kind of scary. You're the CEO, CTO of a company, and you're saying, yes, you're checking the box for each of the determination statements and whatnot, saying that you are in compliance with CMMC. So that's the self-assessment period. So that's within this first year. Now, while it's generally accepted that during this time, you're going to be able to do this self-assessment, it's important to note that certain large primes are actually requiring their subcontractors and their subs potentially to go under an actual C3PAO certification, so a CMMC certification level two, right? So some of those include big ones, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, right? Two of the biggest primes in the United States, mm-hmm. right? So after this first, period, phase one, right after that, so 2026 in November, we're going to start actually seeing the CMMC certification requirements in contracts. So that means to get the contract, to be eligible for that specific contract, you're going to have to be CMMC certified. There's no way around it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's to that end, it's that phased approach that DoD is taking. But in my opinion, I think the self-affirmation part is very, very, very intensive and scary because you're not asking anybody to help you verify that, right? For the most part, there's no certification. You're not giving another opportunity. You're not giving a certification body to showcase that you are in compliance, rather you're doing it yourself. So if something happens down the road, but you can have somebody
look over your shoulder, right?
Yes, you can, right? That's why you have your friendly RPOs and consultants like Compliance Point to help assist, right?
Yeah, shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Right. But yeah, that's where we're at right now. Okay. And you know, the purpose of this one is we're going to be starting to talk about self-assessments and scoping as it relates to this phase one.
Okay. Good deal. Well, thanks for that overview. Good to have you on. Did you cut your hair? I know you were growing your hair longer. I know,
you know what, I actually,
personal hair real quick.
I actually didn't cut my hair.
You did it?
Believe it or not.
Is it back or something?
I slicked it back. So I actually have curly hair, right? So I use this curling cream, apparently. My barber introduced it to me. It's like, hey, you should grow your hair out a little bit and use this. And I just kind of go back and it just curls inside, right? So it's nice and compact. Even though it's actually like, if you're looking at the screen here, it's probably like a good 4 or 5 inches long, my hair. So it just curls into like a nice little bulk. So it's very handy.
There you go. Makes maintenance easier.
It makes maintenance easier, but the wind will take it up to like that.
Oh, that's why we got you locked up inside, right? Working on
CNC no doubt. All the time. Absolutely.
Kidding. So, all right. You talked about self-attestation, self-assessment is a little bit of a daunting task for these organizations going through this for, you know, perhaps the first time or definitely the first time as we enter into phase one. And you talk about the implications of what they're attesting to and if that's not the case and what that can mean, what the consequences would be. So let's start with, what are good practices for an OSC, organization seeking certification, to undergo a self-assessment prior to undergoing the C3PAO assessment?
Right. So it's, I mean, going with and doing a self-assessment internally, right, prior to affirming your either, you know, level one, level two on SPRS or going through a C3PAO assessment, going through that internal self-assessment is really best practices. One, it gives you the time, the organization seeking OSC, to really identify and address any of the gaps in implementation of the cybersecurity measures. Really ensure that you're in compliance with the applicable FAR clauses and DFARS clauses, right? And then really before that third party comes in, it helps you understand and prepare for the full implementation and necessary measures to be able to produce a POEM if you need to. Get those timelines in place for your organization. That way you can, plan ahead for, you know, potential cybersecurity investments. And really it saves you time on the back end, right? In the front end. So when you're going through a self-assessment prior to doing an official assessment with a C3PAO, you can identify those gaps early, mitigate those gaps, right? With the RPO or, you can do it internally if you've got the skill set, you know, in the human capital to do so, but it lets you find those and then reduces the risk of having those not met findings during this C3PAO assessment. It makes it a smoother process. A self-assessment, internal gap assessment, whatever you want to call it in your organization, it's going to be really pivotal to your success as an OSC.
Okay. All right. Well, easy enough, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Well, scoping, why is it so important in the context of CMMC?
Right, with scoping, right, and with the self-assessments, you as an organization will want to understand the boundaries that you're working with, any of the assets at your organization that process, store, or transmit FCI and CUI. So any of your computers, any of your phones, you know, even your printers, right? Your Wi-Fi devices at your location, your large machine manufacturing devices, right? That could be specialized assets, right? They have to be documented and secured to the best of their capabilities, right? You might even have government furnished assets. The government could government furnished equipment. They could give you a laptop to work with, and then that's where that CUI is. Having that documented, having all that stuff in scope, lets you narrow down what you need to, you know, prepare for, right? And then you can showcase to your assessor, or really even like during your self-affirmation, you're giving yourself the warm and fuzzy that, hey, look, this is where my CUI lies. I am fully confident that I'm meeting these requirements, right? In the CMMC specific, well, like Spurs world, right? So you have this unique identifier, right? That UID is essentially the compliance number for your submission into Spurs, right? Like proper scoping reduces that unnecessary effort down the road and prevents over or under assessment, right? That's a big one, because you don't want to waste resources securing things.
Sure, don't do more than you have to.
Exactly, that you don't need to that you don't really need to.
From a compliance standpoint.
From a compliance standpoint, there's best practices and compliance, right? Yeah, yeah. We know that definitely, right? But one thing also to consider. So in the latest FAQ, right, published in November. Was it December or it was recently, right? DoD actually considered, gave clarity on virtual desktop interfaces, right? In virtual desktop infrastructure, right? So VDI, if you're familiar with VDI, it's just you're remoting into a virtual desktop that where the processing is happening somewhere else, right? So in this case, let's just say, for example, it's happening on the Microsoft GCC High cloud, right? It's happening somewhere else other than your computer, right? So those can be, so the assets processing, so you've got these thin clients, your monitors and your keyboard, whatever, those could be considered out of scope if and only if only keyboard, video, and mouse data is being processed, right? Because if you think about it, right, if you have a thin, if you're doing a VDI through your desktop or like a laptop, you could still do a print screen, right? You can definitely do a screenshot, right, of that CUI and store it locally, right? There's all these like little nuances about VDI that, you know, you as an organization just need to understand and really go through these little efforts just to make sure that you're covering yourself on that regard. Because you don't want it to say, hey, all of a sudden your assets are in scope when you've previously attested or affirmed that it's not, right? So that's just one big example. Scoping is extremely important. And that's why, you know, should go talk to your friendly RPO organization for support.
I was about to say, right? You know, there could be a lot of financial consequences of getting the scope wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Whether you underscope and then come out of time, it's determined that it should have been in scope and then fail and all the costs associated with that. Or you overscope and you spend more time and effort certifying and complying with something that you maybe don't need to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt.
All right. So we've covered some pretty good ground here. You know, I think what to expect for level one, level two, some scrutiny they need to place on a few certain things like self-assessment, the scoping. What about, you know, if you had to sum up a few other things, or I would say maybe even in closing for this podcast, what are some key recommendations that you have for somebody starting this journey and doing their self-assessment to look for, to do, to make sure they cover? Maybe it's some reiteration of what we've already talked about, or maybe some other things that you make sure you want to cover or that they know about.
Yeah, absolutely. So for any organization that's, you know, starting this journey, right, with CMMC, I know it, everybody's saying you're late in the game, but that's not the case. We're looking towards future state. We're looking, you know, to work with your OSCs. Right. But as an OSC, first things first is identify those contract clauses in your contract. Right. So it's generally the if you have this capability, speak to a representative from your prime or your sub that owns the contract. Right. Or, you know, if you have a representative in DIB, even better. But generally for, you know, our audiences, if you have that representative from the prime that can showcase the contract clauses and what, you know, your statements of work and all that stuff, right? All that contractual language can help you dictate and determine what is, you know, what your processing is could be potentially CUI or FCI, right? So that's first things first. Look at the contractual language. Then really identify. Then the second I would go into like an asset inventory. Inventory everything that you have from, you know, it depends on, well, how deep you want to go into this. You can go as deep as monitors at your office locations. You can the desks, right? You can do all of your laptops if you're remote, right? Inventory everything, right? Because general best practices is, as an organization is you need to have an asset inventory. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things any consultant will ask you. Hey, do you have an asset inventory and a network diagram? That's another one, right? Make sure you have that network diagram and asset inventory. That covers a lot of bases, and it gives a consultant or a C3PO warm and fuzzy that you know what you're doing, mm-hmm. right? So understand that. So having that,
those got your ducks first, in a row. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So with the network diagram, also a data flow diagram, you know, it might be simple depending on your organization, right? It might just be one building, right, into this specific room that processes CUI, or it could be complex where you have your multinational that has multiple locations that process CUI. There's all of that, right? But generally, understand where your data is flowing, specifically FCI and CUI. And then we can get into like the technical implementation of it, like the nitty gritty system security plans, right? System security plans. Everybody's heard about a system security plan. It's the first thing an assessor looks at. It's their blueprint. System security plan is the blueprint to your security program, right? And it lets you identify those specific items that you need to point towards and say, hey, look, check this policy out. Here's an accompanying access control policy. You can see all of our specific procedures there. Right? You can create an SSP that goes line item by line item, right, for the CMMC requirements. And if you don't have the capabilities or internal resources to do that yourself, definitely we absolutely recommend seeking out an external consultant like CompliancePoint, right? No doubt. And then with that as well, right, like this goes hand in hand, is understanding the level one and level two requirements, right? Especially for, you know, the level two self-assessments even, right? You need to understand not just 110 controls, but the 320 determination statements that go with those 110 controls, right? And if you've read those, like they all kind of flow in a certain way. You identify something, you document something, and then you implement something, right? You have to be able to show for it like a three tier way you can't just have something documented, right? Certain things assessors will look for and want to see over the shoulder, right? I want to see you lock out your computer with your passwords. Is it really five times or however many times you define, right? So be prepared to showcase your procedures, right? Be able to showcase that you're doing what you're saying you're doing.
Yeah.
And then really one last thing as well, right? There's an abundance of, you know, resources available for you, right? So first thing actually is go look at some of the CyberAB documentation and the official DoD documentation. You'll see the official FAQ, frequently asked questions. You'll see the actual models. You'll see the assessment guides, right? So the assessment guides are what the assessors use, right, for assessment. You can get the answers to the test right there. Go to the official documentation, get the assessment guides. Now obviously the assessment guides, they can be daunting, right? That's why we always recommend going with the consultant, right? But they will get you that first head start, right? There's also, if you're having issues with, or if you're looking at training resources, for example, there are free training resources out there for CUI. You can incorporate them into your training programs. Just add another little certification for those users alongside your general security awareness training. Document them. Anybody that's using CUI and, you know, has to be aware of it, take this training, print out or save the certificates, and have HR or somebody or training manager save the certificates, and there it is, right? You can showcase that you're meeting a domain in CMMC, which is awareness and training, right? And also, lastly, there's also the small business support programs like the NIST MEP, which stands for Manufacturing Extension Partnership. So each state and maybe perhaps region has one. I know Georgia's got one, and then the New England region's got one, right? But there you can, maybe network with your fellow manufacturing organizations within the state or region, and then you can kind of help share that knowledge when it comes to scoping, right? Because, you know, ultimately this is a team effort, right? This is a national security thing, right? Mm-hmm. Cybersecurity is national security. And I believe that if we share those resources specifically, you know, on the OSC side, it just makes things a lot easier moving forward, right? So those are my big steps.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. But good. No, I think important vital information for a lot. And I'd encourage our listeners and people coming back to the source of this compliance point, not to say that it's near the breadth of resources in CyberAB and those other sites, but we've done a few podcasts on this, Chris. I know, you know, blog posts. There's other resources we also have available on our website that I'd encourage anybody to check out. And then I'd go a step further, as Chris identified inside this session or inside this podcast. You know, we are an RPO. We have CMMC expertise. We work with organizations to prepare for and get ready for our C3PAO audit. And so if you have questions, you have inquiries, if you want to talk with somebody and figure out your journey, what's going to take, where it might make sense for consultative support, where it makes sense for you to just handle it on your own. You know, we like to think of ourselves as a trusted advisor and would be very, very keen on having those conversations with anybody that's listening to this today and is interested in that. So reach out to us at compliancepoint.com. There's an email distro there. In fact, you can email at connect@compliancepoint.com and get in touch with us, or LinkedIn, or many, many different channels. It shouldn't be too hard to find us. And if it is, let me know. It's kind of my responsibility here. Until next time, Chris, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And for everybody else. I think we got probably another one of these or two before the holidays lined up. As you can see in Chris's background, we're getting close. So happy holidays to everybody listening. And we're looking forward to 2026.